Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I was a little concerned Jimmy was trolling Panthers fans, playing a little Taylor Swift, Shake It Off, but Jimmy was saying to me, no, I'm playing it because you got to shake off that loss and you got to move on to the next one. I will tell you, Taylor Swift, I don't know, I haven't listened to sports radio today. She was there at the Chiefs loss in the Super Bowl, and now she was here at the, I'm not saying, you know, anything, you're unlucky or something, but maybe something someone wants to look into, because she's in major championship games, 0-2, last couple of appearances.
Taylor Mush.
Just saying.
I saw her there.
Last night was a pretty crushing defeat, because you've got a 3-0 lead at home in a Stanley Cup final game. Like, hey, it's one thing to blow a road game. You got a 3-0 lead at home. Man, that feels ugly after last night. And insane comeback. I give Edmonton credit. And then an insane comeback, an insane tie in the last 19 seconds to go by the Panthers. And you think, okay, they may pull it out. And alas, didn't work out that way. So how do we all feel about now a 3-game series with Edmonton? 2 of those 3 games are on the road. How are we feeling, Channing Crowder?
First, game three was an outlier. We talked about that a lot of the last 2 days. Hawk, game three is not what was going to happen. Game three was just Edmonton got out of line and we scored a lot and it looked bad. These teams are so well matched, because early in overtime last night, we were peppering the net, and this damn Pickard, I don't even know if it's Pickard. Man, this damn Pickard, he's the best goalie in the history of hockey. We had one bounced off the railing. It's literally going to get down. Game 1, 2, and 4 are what this series is going to be. It's going to be overtime. It's going to be who has the last shot. We had a chance to win it, and when they got their chance in our zone, they went and won it. They have great players. We have great players. We talked about it, Hawk. I don't know if you're here. If you've never watched hockey, this is probably the best series for you to ever watch. This is some of the most exhilarating hockey I've ever watched in my life.
It really is. You can't help but watch these games, and you are just entertained from the jump. Even the outlier game, like you say, that game, even though it was an outlier, I'm speaking as a Panthers fan, was one of the most, if not the most enjoyable hockey game I've ever watched. So this series has been incredible. Solana, it's a 3-game series now.
The little girl said it. I like the fights.
Like to watch them punch each other in the face.
It was lopsided, but they were punching each other in the face.
Solana, it's a 3-game series. Home ice advantage is with Edmonton. How do you feel?
I don't know. Honestly, I've been trying to figure out, leaving the stadium last night, because I could still make the case that the Panthers are the better team. Like, But guys, my whole take is prefaced on the fact that the Panthers don't do what they did in game one, which is blow a 2-goal lead. And they don't blow 3-goal leads. They what was it, like the stretch of 3 years in a row where if they're leading after a period, they don't lose the game? So I don't know. Like, I still feel that's the team I'm watching.
But that says something about Edmonton, right? I mean, that shows you just how good and talented Edmonton is.
Right. So that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out here. Are we just flat out better? Which, you know, I had to eat some crow last night tweeting that with a 3-0 lead after the first period. And listen, man, it is what it is. If you know, somebody wants to blame me as the jinx, go ahead. But I think there's bigger issues at play. And Hawk, you're telling me 3-0 lead with a backup goalie coming in. I feel like that's a perfect spot to be in. I don't know, man. Sometimes even if Pickard isn't Luongo or isn't one of the best goalies ever, sometimes those like small tweaks can revitalize a team.
Oh, and I'm afraid
that happened last night.
That dude's going to be a hero in Edmonton. That dude's on an Alex Lyons trajectory, or, you know, like, I'm with you 100%. Like that, you know, listen, Stuart Skinner wasn't the greatest goalie in the world. This isn't Sergei Bobrovsky getting replaced with Vanacek. These are pretty, like, Skinner, Pickard, they're fairly even goalies. So I think that may be exactly, I mean, it was last night what Edmonton needed, aside from that little goal with 19 seconds to go. Pickard was pretty lights out. It's an interesting series, man. 3 games, because I'm kind of with Solana. This Panthers team is really good. But the fact that they coughed up leads twice tells me something about Edmonton.
The fact that they had leads twice on Edmonton's amazing on the Panther side. The fact that Edmonton can come back from 3-1 down and 3-0 down is amazing on Edmonton's side. This is a world championship heavyweight boxing match that's going to be decided in decision. Neither team is knocking anybody out. That's why I'm putting game three out of my mind now. Bro, when they get in our zone, I can't even sit comfortably on my couch. I'm not going to lie. I'm scared every second that they have the puck in our zone. And when we're in their zone, I'm on the edge of my couch waiting for a goal to be scored, because we can do that. This is like you said, the Panthers, we talked about it, this whole season. Panthers are deeper. We have 4 lines, they have 2. Everything. These are the best 2 teams in hockey. And these are the best 2 teams that are going to play each other, and I think it's going to game 7, and it's going to go to overtime, and we're going to see in overtime who has the puck in the other team's goal at the end of overtime. That's what it is. These teams are so well matched.
There was a play down deep in the Panthers zone that Connor McDavid made that I looked at, because I was watching with my nieces and Lori's father, and I said, you just saw the perfect example of why Connor McDavid's the best player in hockey. Like, he faked me out sitting on the couch. Like, it is a heavyweight match with 2 legit champions. I mean, this is what you want from, you misspoke. You said the 2 best teams in basketball. They might be the 2 best teams in basketball, because that's how good these 2 teams are. They might be the best 2 teams in basketball.
These dudes can go. I know we hate the Edmonton Oilers, but I appreciate the Edmonton Oilers.
Now, there are a lot of people on social media who do not like the fact that Miami Dolphins are banging the drum, the ceremonial drum. By the way, we have a Dolphins legend with us today, Zach Thomas, Hall of Famer. He's going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. And I don't think anyone would have a problem if Zach Thomas wanted to bang the drum. But Jason Taylor banged the drum last night. They lost. I think from what I've read, they're 0-6 the last 6 times Miami Dolphins have banged the drum before a game.
I've seen conflicting numbers here. 0-6, 0-7, potentially 0-8, according to one Reddit thread. But the O is pretty consistent there, gentlemen, on the front end.
The solution, and I tweeted it, the solution is Matt Mervis. If they bring in Matt Mervis, okay. wearing a Jacksonville jumbo shrimp uni. And they have Matt Mervis bang the drum. Mark this down. If the Panthers have Matt Mervis bang the drum before game six, the Panthers will beat the Oilers 31-0. Mark it down.
Okay. I make you proud. Solana held up your Matt Mervis stuff while you were gone.
He's killing it in Jacksonville. He's killing it. I tweeted out yesterday because you saw his jumbo shrimp stats, like four ding-dongs, 10 ribby, almost hit for the cycle yesterday. So I tweeted it out, and I said, Marlins, do the right thing. They got to call him back up. Do the right thing. He's in your AAA system. He's tearing it up. Do the right thing. Someone tweets at me, Hawk, he's a AAA all-star. He's nothing in the majors. You want them to tank? I said, tank? Tank? Have you watched a Marlins game? You think them bringing Matt Mervis up to the majors would be a sign that they're throwing in the towel? Matt Mervis would be the sign. That's the sign you're looking for? That the Marlins have thrown in the towel? Bring Matt Mervis up and have him bang the drum. Enough of this nonsense.
I'm more famous than Matt Mervis.
I don't know about in Jacksonville.
I think in Jacksonville, too.
No, I think of Fred Taylor, Mark Brunell, Mervis.
Tony Baselli. Tony Baselli.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Let's get headlines. Josh Appel's going to join us. I wanted to hear what his thoughts were after last night's game. He had a rough one last night, as did all Panthers fans, but Josh takes it harder than most. So Josh Appel's going to join us. Let's get a quick look at headlines with Solana, brought to you by Durrell Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Durrell Volkswagen.
I watched the game with Appel. I was up in the press box with him, and he was not thrilled at the end of that game. He was
he really lives and dies with that Panthers team, has for many, many years.
He does. He does. I get it too, man, because that's me with the Heat. Like, when before I worked with the organization, the Heat could lose a random game on a Monday night in January, and like, it would weigh on me. As silly as that sounds.
I'm starting to think that Kevin Durant on the Heat is not going to be much of a game changer.
As of championships or?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I believe I'm with you.
I just think that this, like, I think, hope I'm wrong.
You don't want them to go after KD is what you're saying?
No, this I do.
See, you always move. Do we want KD? Yes. Does KD make us a championship contender? No.
But that's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. All right.
We went through this, Solana.
Because I saw too. Russell Westbrook opted out today. And I saw someone suggest, reteaming with KD this time in Miami. And I'm like, you know, what are we doing here?
I don't want Westbrook.
Well, whoever tweeted that, Hawk, should have their account suspended. And if they're a season ticket holder, their season ticket's revoked. Because that is the worst idea I've ever heard in my entire life.
You could see it happening, though. You could absolutely see it happening.
No. Teaming like building your offseason, framing your offseason around teaming up Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant.
No.
In Miami.
Building the offseason about getting Kevin Durant and then filling in some veteran pieces and going, okay, Russell Westbrook will give you 12 minutes a night.
Yeah. I can do that, but we can't get rid of Bam or Tyler with that.
The thing is, and Hawk, I don't think you're like there's anything wrong with not thinking Bam, Tyler, and Kevin Durant is a title contender.
That's all I'm saying.
Right. I think a lot of people would feel that way. But, man, we're watching Indiana, and I know that this take sounds a little crazy right now. They're up 2-1 in a series. But all of us just feel like Indy's a really good team. They're not like a generational superstar-driven team. The East is just so wide open. Next year, Tatum's out for the Celtics. Who knows what's going to happen in New York? They just fired their head coach. Can Indiana really do this again next season? Like, I'm just saying the East is so wide open. Why wouldn't you take a swing on a superstar player and then try to fill the pieces and hope
I would take a swing. Absolutely. I would take a swing if it didn't mortgage the future. I would absolutely take a swing because what are the other alternatives? I just think that we've seen enough of the Kevin Durant movie to know how it works out. That's my only thought. I don't like where does the resurgence from him come from? He couldn't make the playoffs.
Hawk, it is going to mortgage the future because he wants a 2-year, $120 to $130 million contract. He makes $55 million next year. The following year, he makes 60-something, and the following year that, he makes 60-something. You're mortgaging the next 3 years on Kevin Durant. You are because – a guy eating up $60 million of your salary cap. That's what it's going to be.
But I take that over status quo. See, I don't want Solana to get me wrong. I would take that over status quo because you got to do something. You can't run it back with Bam and Tyler. I mean, what are we doing? So you got to do something. I'm okay with that. I'm just saying, I don't think I would say, wow, they've got their championship roster. I just don't think I would be that.
Yeah. Because KD doesn't have Steph Curry, and he's never done it without Steph Curry.
But would you agree that adding Kevin Durant makes them closer?
Yes.
Not close, but closer
yes.
to an NBA title or a title contender?
No doubt. If they could get a great coach like Rick Carlisle, they'd be very close.
Solana, no. See, he tries to paint it. A play-in team to a 6 seed. That's what it makes them.
Yeah, I mean, we're saying that, and I know that that's fair. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it makes him a three seed. I don't know for sure. But, man, I think this past season really was a lot of the Jimmy Butler effect that put this team as a 10 seed. 2 years ago, they were a play-in team, right? They were. But Jimmy Butler only played 60 games. They were still 10 games above 500. This year, they would have easily, with that record, been a top six seed. So I just think there's a little bit more context. I'm not trying to defend the Miami Heat season. It was a disaster, and a lot went wrong. But you add Kevin Durant to that roster throughout the entire season, and I don't think they're a 10 seed. I don't think they lose 10 straight games, and I don't think they get bounced in the first round by the Cleveland Cavaliers the way
that they did. I agree with you. I agree with you. Although, I would say, if you wanted to argue the other side, I could list to you the Phoenix roster and go, this is a playoff team at least. And then who knows what happens when you get to the playoffs.
For sure.
So, you know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, you tell me they're getting Kevin Durant, I go championship team.
How many games does Kevin Durant change? I pulled up the Eastern Conference final standings.
Kevin Durant is he's still plus eight. Man, how many games did the Heat have a double-digit lead this year and squander it? How many games did they have a lead going into the final minutes, the clutch minutes, and couldn't pull that out? You add a scorer in Kevin Durant, I mean, easily you could be talking about 8 to 10 wins with somebody who can give you 25 before you blink. Like, yes. Bro, we're talking about a generational, maybe the best scorer at all three phases of the court ever in the history of the game.
And that puts you in the sixth seed.
Maybe. But guess what? The Indiana Pacers.
No. 8 to 10 still put you at sixth seed.
Yeah. But guess what? The Indiana Pacers weren't a top three seed.
They had 50 wins.
This became a debate over something that I didn't intend. All I said was, the more I give it thought, I don't think they're a championship team with KD. I'm not saying I don't want them, because I do. And I'm not saying that I don't think he'd make them better, because he will. I just don't think they're a championship team. That's all I was saying.
And I believe the number three spot needs to be taken by somebody else. KD, Bam, and I don't think the and should be Tyler Hero.
You're done with Tyler after the four-point game against Cleveland? Are we using that as the benchmark? We're going to forget everything else he's done during his tenure in the All-Star season that he had last season. We're just going, hey, there was a four-point game in the playoffs, and he's got to go.
Seeing him fold, hearing a player in Garland say that our game plan was to go at him because he's a turnstile, knowing that other players feel that way, and just watching Tyler sit here and eat up salary cap, I think he's a good player. I don't think Tyler is a part of a big three. I think Tyler's a very good ancillary piece.
You realize the 8-point game in game four doesn't happen if you have a Kevin Durant. Like, the Heat didn't have another go-to scorer. So
you're making Cleveland that up. Cavaliers, you're making that up.
No, I'm not. Cleveland Cavaliers, they
wore him down because he's terrible on defense. They went at him defensively, and he couldn't hit any shots.
But there's a lot of guys.
He didn't shoot 10 shots, Solana. He shot a bunch of shots and couldn't hit them.
No, that's not true.
That is true.
It's not. In game four, like, those guys didn't even play in the second half. The Heat were down 50 by halftime. Literally, they were down 50.
Because he couldn't hit any damn shots, that's not
an argument for Tyler.
No, but I'm just saying, like, the game plan of the Cavaliers was literally to take Tyler Hero out of the Heat's offensive system by just sending double teams at him. And the Heat needed Andrew Wiggins, Bam Adebayo, anybody else to go score to help alleviate the pressure on Tyler. And they proved, the Cleveland Cavaliers did, that the Heat did not have anybody else who could give the Heat consistent offense. And if you add Kevin Durant to that equation, guess what? You can't double-team Tyler Hero and completely freeze him out of an offense because, here comes a 7-footer who can drive, hit a midi, and hit a three, and he's going to put up 50 if you're double-teaming somebody else. Like, you can't just say,
Also, he's expendable, Crowder, once we get Westbrook.
I don't want Westbrook. I take Tyler Hero over Westbrook, to be honest. Who was leaving Westbrook wide open in the corner just because they knew he couldn't hit a three? Some team this postseason.
Everybody. Literally. Oklahoma City was begging Russell Westbrook to take jumpers.
I was at the JCC.
Hey, let the big guy shoot. Let the big guy shoot.
All right, finish up the headlines because I don't have enough time to talk Panthers with Appel.
The Panthers have touchdown in Edmonton, by the way. Quick turnaround. They flew out earlier today. Game 5 is tomorrow, and Game 6 will be Tuesday back here at the Amerant Bank Arena. You're either staving off elimination or you're getting first of perhaps two opportunities to close out the series.
First crack at knocking it down.
Yeah.
There we go.
The Miami Marlins.
Up on Tuesday, elbow room by Wednesday.
The Miami Marlins open up a three-game series versus the Washington Nationals in the nation's capital today. 6:45 is your first pitch. By the way, to that tweeter who said that the Miami Marlins should not elevate Matt Mervis because they don't want to tank. The Marlins, to his credit, Hawk, are only 3.5 games out of second to last place.
Right. I think a lot of people realize that they are trying to field the best team possible in the major leagues, and sending Matt Mervis down to the minors was certainly a good step in that direction.
3.5 games behind second to last place.
Yep, 18.5 games out of first, but only 3.5 games out of second to last place.
I don't like it.
The FIFA Club World Cup begins tomorrow. Inter Miami and Al Ahly open things up at Hard Rock Stadium. That does kind of coincide with Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final, but two big major sporting events happening surrounding South Florida sports. There's actually a lot of sports this weekend. It begins tonight with Game number 4 in the NBA Finals in Indiana. OKC trying to even up that series. Your weather from the domestic.
Somebody says on the text line, by the way, watching Ira and KD go back and forth on Twitter would be worth the price of admission there.
They both loaded. They got full clip.
Oh, man. Neither one of those guys is backing down.
Yep.
Your weather. The Mesman and Dover Law Firm, call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7. It is another hot day in South Florida. It's like 88 degrees. Tonight, the lows will be in the low 80s as well. That is your weather.
We will talk Florida Panthers in the next segment. Zach Thomas is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no!
Hawk and Crowder.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, remind everybody, Solana will be at Carolina Ale House in Weston next Wednesday. We know the Club World Cup opens tomorrow, but Solana will be there next Wednesday, the 18th, 5 p.m. for a Club World Cup watch party. He's going to be giving away tickets every 30 minutes to see Inter Miami on the 23rd. They play tomorrow, but they play also on the 23rd. And Solana's going to have a pair of tickets to give away every half hour. All you have to do is go to Carolina Ale House in Weston next Wednesday, the 18th. Watch the games with Solana and try to win some tickets. Enjoy some ice cold beer specials as well. You can get info at WQAM.com. Josh Appel is with us. He filled in for me yesterday. He was at the Amerant Bank Arena with you guys. And as Solana so eloquently said, Appel does indeed live and die by this Panthers team. Solana was watching the game next to him yesterday. Appel's been a diehard Panthers fan for as long as he's been alive. And so I wonder what you do with last night's game, because it was, man, a rough way to lose because you've got a 3-0 lead at home. But this Edmonton team is stacked, and I just wonder where your head's at after last night.
There was a game last night?
You've already put it behind you?
No. You know, it's interesting. I went to sleep last night not feeling great, but like, all right, they lost and we move on. And then I woke up this morning with a pit in my chest and in my stomach thinking about Sam Bennett and the save that Calvin Pickard made with that puck going off the crossbar, and then following that up with the most fluke of all fluky goals that Leon Draisaitl scored. Like, I can live with a loss last night in overtime.
Draisaitl was not trying to shoot that, right?
No, he was trying to pass that. Yeah. It was on his backhand, and it was like a one-arm pass to his left to try and get it to Corey Perry, I think, and it deflected off of Nico Mikkola, and because Bobrovsky was sliding from left to right, opened up the wickets a little, slipped underneath him, and they score that goal. I can, if Draisaitl comes down the wing, drives the net, scores a filthy backhand, or goes backhand forehand and roofs it, or snipes Bobrovsky, like, okay, you live with it. But to miss out on the chances that the Panthers did in overtime after controlling play the first, what was it, 10, 11 minutes, really, until the Draisaitl goal, yeah, it is certainly demoralizing. And, you know, it's so interesting to me how similar this game went to game two in Edmonton, starting with the home team tying the game, less than 20 seconds left, going to overtime, the tie at 4. Then the Panthers have that opportunity from Marchand where the puck goes through the crease, off the post, stays out. Last night, Edmonton in overtime has a puck go under Bobrovsky, slide through the crease, off the post, and the follow-up somehow Gustav Forsling is able to keep it out of the net. And then they score on a little fluky goal that's not really the best of touches. Like, Marchand made a nice play, but probably Stuart Skinner probably wants that one back. In fact, if you go back and listen to every single call of that Marchand winner in game two, everybody there thought it was stopped initially by Stuart Skinner. And then you see the fluky goal that Edmonton scored last night to win the game. It is pretty demoralizing. One of the things we talked about yesterday was in the previous five games in the Stanley Cup final, the last 2 years, at 5-on-5, the Oilers had scored only 2 goals. Last night, they scored 4 at 5-on-5.
I'm glad you brought that up, Josh, because you were preaching for a couple days and maybe a couple weeks. The Panthers are the best 5-on-5 team. So when we had 5-on-5, I was like, okay, we're set. They got more shots on goal. They had more attempts in overtime, all of that. But like you said, was it fluky? Do you still feel that way? Because when Edmonton was in our zone, they were going at it.
But like to me, I'm looking at that second period. Like it was roles reversed. The Panthers were dominant in that first period. They chased Mr. Game 4, big bad Mr. Game 4, Stuart Skinner, out of the game, who technically I think does get credit.
Does he get credit for the win? Because he started the game.
Undefeated. Undefeated still in game fours. I would just like to point out.
He gets credit for it?
Yes.
It's who starts the game, not who ends the game.
I think Stickard might technically get the win, but Stuart Skinner can say he started another game four that they ended up winning. It's so hard to believe that the team that came out in the first period for both sides is what they looked like in the second period. It was a complete role reversal down to the three power plays that the Panthers gifted Edmonton in that period. I don't think anybody envisioned the way that the Panthers took it to them in the first that anything like that was going to happen following it. And, you know, the first goal that Edmonton scored, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, great shot. The second goal, Darnell Nurse, an impossible angle, great shot, but probably one that Bobrovsky needs to stop. And the third one is a rebound that's just sitting out in front that nobody clears out, and Podkolzin scores and ties the game at 3. And then after Alexander Barkov and Sam Reinhart in that line are out there for what felt like an hour, they can't get the puck out of the defensive zone. Like, how many times have you seen Alexander Barkov have a puck at his skate, a puck on his stick, and turn it over in his own defensive zone? It never happens. And it led to the go-ahead goal in the third period. Thankfully, Sam Reinhart and the Panthers were able to push and get the game tied. And, you know, I don't think that this is a demoralizing loss if the teams go back and forth and they get to 4-4 at the end and you lose on a fluky play in overtime. Unfortunately, sometimes that's just hockey. But to be up 3-0, to lose that lead, a team, by the way, that for the first time under Paul Maurice in the postseason lost after leading after any period in game one of the series, now becomes the first team in, I think, 38 games in the Stanley Cup to have a 3-goal lead after the first period and lose. And so I can't even come on here and do the, you know, it's hockey and that stuff happens. It literally never happens. I will say the Oilers have made a run this postseason in large part because they're capable of big comebacks like this. In fact, we saw it last year in game 3 at Edmonton where they almost stormed all the way back. The Panthers were able to hold on in the end. I have a million thoughts running through my head. I don't know if you can tell as it relates to this. I've apologized 17 times to Solana because I thought I might have broken his hand celebrating. I had to subdue my emotions when Reinhart
died. You're in the press box.
Yeah, of course. I'm a professional. But Solana, I guess, reached for his phone and I grabbed his other hand and I like shook it and I like was like clapping on top of his head. It was a lot. But the Panthers have shown time and time again that they are capable of moving on from a game like that. I mean, we saw it last year in the Cup final. I mean, what better show of mental fortitude than nearly having the greatest collapse in the history of a championship series in sports and then winning 2-1 in game 7. I think this team is more than capable of bouncing back. And I think, and I would imagine that WQAM equivalent at Edmonton was having a very similar conversation after blowing game 2 or not winning in game 2 and then getting the doors blown off of them in game 3. They were probably saying, oh, this is over. What do you think they were saying after the first period yesterday? This series has swung back and forth for 2 years now. And yeah, does it suck that the Panthers lost? Yes, but they're on a bird or they landed in Edmonton. They'll get their Dairy Queen blizzards today, and they'll go out and play a hockey game tomorrow. And that's, I think, the best thing possible is not have to dwell on it.
It is pretty crazy that Dairy Queen could end up saving this Florida Panthers season. it's a wild statement, but I wholeheartedly believe it. Appel, I'm not necessarily trying to blame any particular player. And I know, look, I've gotten burned with the Marchand stupid take, and I pretty much said that the series was over yesterday, and then, you know, the Panthers lost the game. I realize I don't have a great track record here, but they're down 3-0 yesterday, Edmonton. I'm sure everybody, the equivalent of WQM in Edmonton, saying, hey, Draisaitl has to step it up. Hey, the best player on the ice, Connor McDavid, has to step it up. Nugent Hopkins has to step it up. I realize that Barkov, Reinhardt, like our first line, has their hands full covering or having to play against that duo. I get that. But is it not fair at this point? You have a 3-0 lead. You blow the 3-0 lead to look to your best players and say, hey, this is on you now to close out this game, to make sure that you don't blow the 3-0 lead. At what point do we stop saying, well, they have their hands full, and expect Barkov to play at the level that Barkov should play, not to give up a silly turnover no matter how long he's been on the ice? And for Reinhardt, I know he scored now in 2 straight games and it was a pretty important goal, but we can all agree, like, they're not playing their best hockey right now.
That's still tough for me to evaluate whether or not that is or isn't their best, especially coming off of a night where Barkov had multiple points, Reinhardt had a goal and 2 assists, and obviously the one at the end tied it. Matthew Tkachuk finally had these back-to-back games that I think are the best that Tkachuk has looked all postseason long. So I think they are getting look, they're scoring 4 or 5 goals in every single one of these games. Like, they're not hurting for them offensively, right? And so when other guys are able to pick up that slack, you want Barkov and Reinhardt to at least excel defensively. And they did that in game 3. Last night, there are unfortunately a couple of glaring moments where that didn't happen. And look, we don't need to come out here and have this like hot take about them needing to play better, right? Like, we didn't have to do that after Thomas Nosek put the puck over the boards in game 1 in overtime, right? Like, these guys know they have to play better. And I realize that everything is put under a microscope when it gets to this point in the playoffs. They're in the Stanley Cup final for the 3rd consecutive year, trying to go back to back against the best player in the world. I get all that. It's just hard for me to be down on them after they actually finally produced the way we expect them to offensively last night, and unfortunately had a really bad giveaway that led to a go-ahead goal that they got back, right? Like, you don't know what happens if maybe they still go to overtime 3-3, right? If Jake Walman doesn't score with 5.5, 6 minutes left. So who knows what happens. It's good to see they were able to bounce back after that. But I will say this. I know he came in yesterday and he played well for Edmonton after Chris Knobloch took Mr. Game 4 out of the game. But I'm telling you right now, 3 games left, and I've got Calvin Pickard standing in the way of the Panthers winning back-to-back cups at a best-of-3. I will take that every single day of the week. I know he's 7-0 in the postseason now, which means he's due, and they do tend to play a little bit better in front of him. He was good last night, made some big saves, but there were a lot of opportunities that the Panthers normally cash in on. Rebounds were all over the place, out for there for the taking. He flails and overcommits all over the place. I dare Calvin Pickard to win 2 more games in this series. I dare him.
Josh, you know what I noticed, because I was mad last night, but I don't know. I was watching it on TV, watching every second. Calvin and Leon Draisaitl, those are black first names, so I don't know what these Canadians got going, but maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe we should get some more Raheems on our team. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. No, but I'm joking around.
I was going to say, I'm not sure that's my department to evaluate.
But no. I rented a Draisaitl on the beach while I was here on the Jersey Shore.
What's his name?
Draisaitl. I just saw
his first name is Leon. I said, Leon?
Calvin, though. Is Calvin a black name?
Calvin's a black name, Hawk. Calvin.
President Calvin Coolidge?
That one. But Josh, something we talked about, something that they ended game 3 with when they were trying to play in the mud, trying to play paw ball, and all the nasty and the forechecking. And in the first period, it seemed like they came out and wanted to prove a point and get physical. And then when they started playing the speed hockey, like Hawk, yesterday Bill Lindsay was talking about it, they're a speed team. When they started playing their style of hockey, they came back from 3-0 and started doing that. Just between me and you, I hope nobody's listening from Edmonton. Do we need to drag them into the mud? Because I don't know if we should run with them like we tried to run with them in the third period in overtime.
Maybe, but part of me also feels like the first and second period were aberrations. You know, like I feel like what we saw in the third period, what we saw in overtime, what we saw in the previous games of the series outside of game three, games one and two, are closer to what we should expect from these teams. It's such a cool contrast of styles, right? With the speed and the forechecking of the Panthers. I don't know if you really want to panic because of last night and get away from what you do and trying to change things just because you had, albeit a very unfortunate blown game, second time in this series by the Panthers. So I think you just got to stick to what you do. If Edmonton wants to try and drag you back in there, great, be happy to, but you got to stick to your game and not really worry about and try and have Edmonton dictate how you maybe want to change things or anything like that. Because it's not like yesterday they weren't throwing big hits or big hits on both sides, right? Yeah. Like Carter Verhaeghe on the third goal for Anton Lundell on the forecheck comes over and hits Troy Stetcher into the boards, maybe going away with a high stick, and then finds Anton Lundell in the slot for the goal. Carter Verhaeghe also got away probably with a boarding call later in the game that wasn't called. So I think the physicality is still there, and I think all of that is still there. It's just Edmonton, as Paul Maurice and everybody else expected, everybody that we talked to on the show yesterday expected, they came out and there wasn't a lot of those extracurriculars for them, except Evander Kane, another night where he takes a million penalties and he whines about it.
Josh Appel has received a text on the text line that is so perfect. Damn, this big-ass nerd knows his puck.
I love that guy.
Give this dude another segment. Preach it, nerd. Might have to add a fourth name to the show. He's crushing it.
Thank you.
Josh is a nerd.
Big-ass nerd.
Come on.
Is this the best era?
I've never seen a 6'4" nerd, though. I don't know if that's just me.
Now you have.
Oh. Is this the best era of Panthers shenanigans? Because you had the year of the rat, you had Kevin Spacey, and you have now Taylor Swift and Dairy Queen. Kevin Spacey's been exonerated, so you can break out the hoodies. He's been exonerated.
I'll let you break out your hoodie first.
Break out the hoodies. I'm just saying, is this the best cutesy era with Dairy Queen and firing off rats at Brad Marchand and Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce in the crowd? Or is it still the year of the rat? Or, long shot here, is it the Kevin Spacey era?
I actually think it's the Party City Tarp era is the best when they were tarping it off in the upper deck. No, and then you got Will Manso suggesting they put Jonah Gadjevich's tongue face on a t-shirt. And of course, yesterday they start selling the t-shirts. You've got the Dairy Queen stuff. Yeah, I mean, this is the best era of anything Panthers related ever. And I'm not sure it's possible for it to be top because they've reached the top already. But it was cool. It was cool in 96, obviously. Like, it captured the city. The rats were amazing. But that,
I mean, they're still doing the rats till today.
Right. They are. And they've evolved a bit because now they just fire at them at our resident rat, Brad Marchand, after wins. How awesome is it? I was surprised, by the way, that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were in a suite, but on the club level and not in the suite level. Because on the club level, I know they were able to come in up the backside with the elevator and they had big security, but like, you got to walk around the normies in the club level to get to those suites. Suite level, a little more private. I'm surprised they were up on that level.
But I'm cool pretty sure that was the Odyssey suite.
I said that to Solana. It was right by there.
I am pretty sure that was the Odyssey suite. No one cleaned that suite till next season. I got to do some investigation.
What are you going to do? Look for Taylor Swift's hair?
I can't tell you.
Inexplicably, I think Mark Williams and Tim Hardaway Jr. were also at the game last night. Random NBA. Huh.
They were.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
Yeah, I saw
Josh Appel. We love you, you big ass nerd.
I love you guys. Small ass nerds, except for Crowder. Not a nerd. I would never call
him. I'm just a small ass guy. I don't think I'm a nerd.
No, but you look comfortable on that throne in your Airbnb. I'll tell you that.
I have never been more comfortable. This is where I want to do the show from now on. I'm flying here just to do Tuesday's show, so I don't have to go to the arena.
He's on a throne, isn't he? That's ridiculous.
See ya, pal.
Bye, guys.
He does know his puck, man. Josh Appel knows his hockey.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no!
Hawk and Crowder.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.